Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle,
Megan Augusta,
Tyrone Crawford.
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Drake Moore, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast, presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. Windsor's only local sports podcast featuring interviews of local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more, every Monday, wherever podcasts are found, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and now Facebook Podcasts. Talk about that later on. But speaking of Facebook, be sure to give us a like on our Facebook page, the Wind City Sports Podcast Facebook page, as well as Instagram and Twitter at WindCity_sports and our Wind City Sports YouTube channel. Please give us a follow, like, subscribe, and review on any platform you might use. We'll probably talk about that again throughout the show, again, as we break down some local sports news and, of course, hear from one of our local athletes or coaches from the past and present, as we'll get into soon. But today is Monday, November 15th, 2021, and it's episode 233 of Wind City Sports. And we have a lot of news to talk about. Windsor Spitfires, St. Clair Fratmen, lots of Windsor Lancer sports, and some win columns this past week and weekend. So we're going to talk about that, but we're going to start off with some football news in a little bit, as this is kind of going to be a football-themed episode. Of course, the Wind City Sports Podcast, different sports almost every week. And to kind of keep the theme running with football, our guest this week, a former Windsor Lancers running back. He's a London native and all-Canadian football player. Went on to play in the CFL for a good 7 or 8 seasons, winning the 2013 Grey Cup. Again, a London native back to his roots now, living out there, but working in Hamilton, where he used to play for the Hamilton Ticats. Again, this former running back for the University of Windsor Lancers, Daryl Stevenson, is our guest this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but of course I want to talk about our St. Clair Fratmen. As I'm sure you know, they're heading out to the finals of the OFC in their division. We'll talk about that in a sec. But of course, want to talk about that to start off the show, talk about the Spitfires and stuff later on, because Daryl being our guest, setting records and still holding records at the OUA level and at the Windsor Lancers, franchise records as well. So this guy's got quite the history, again, quite the stats for a Canadian, all-Canadian football player, college and pro, all played in Canada. Some unique stuff and some cool stuff. A guy, again, that has records in the college level at CIS or U Sport, and went on to the CFL to have a successful career and win championship, win the Grey Cup, one of the biggest, awards in football. So again, that will be our interview segment for this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, coming up in a few minutes right after we talk about the St. Clair Fratmen, because, speaking of awards and in football and Canadian football, after this, undefeated regular season for the St. Clair Fratmen, formerly the AKO Windsor Fratmen football team, junior football team, they went undefeated in the regular season. Lots of players being named to the All-Star team, of course, so some honors there. And it didn't stop in their first game of playoffs, as they rolled through the Skyhawks with a decisive 47-3 win this past Saturday on the road, and that will bring them to the OFC final, where they'll be taking on the London Beefeaters this Saturday at home here in Windsor. Amherstburg's Jacob Savoni opened up scoring after a convert by Jake Holloway, and from that start they did not stop throughout the entire game, with the only return from the Skyhawks being a field goal, of course, at 47 yards that ended the shutout. But obviously not enough to phase the Fratmen. Again, this team is just a powerhouse right now in their division. From here, they take on the London Beefeaters on Saturday. It says on the website that the game time is to be announced, but I believe it is at 1 p.m. The Saturday, November 20th, at the St. Clair College Sports Park, that new facility they have there out at St. Clair College on Huron Church. If the Fratmen win on Saturday, they will advance to the All-Canada Championship, which will take place on December 4th at a time and location to be announced once, the Western and the Ontario teams make it or finish up their championship. So wouldn't be definitely not the first time. I think This would be like their ninth time in the last 10 years making it to the championship, but not as many championship rings as they probably should have. So this is a big year for the Fratmen after the pandemic, after a little bit of controversy earlier this year, of course, as well, as talked about throughout the past couple weeks. Is not going to phase them, not going to change anything. They're here to win, and they are proving it. They are absolutely rolling. Again, unfortunately, this is pretty much our only football news. Definitely not going to talk about the Detroit Lions, Lancers football team not making playoffs this year. Again, as we roll into our interview with Daryl Stevenson in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you about Amesburg Chevy Buick GMC. As you've heard before here on the Wind City Sports Podcast, our main sponsor, our newest sponsor for the show. Located on Sandwich Street South in Amesburg, they're proud to serve drivers all throughout South Amesburg, Windsor, Kingsville, and LaSalle areas. I've dealt with them before, and they provide top quality service to everyone who walks through the door, and they love to do it too. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. It's almost new car season, so if you're looking for a new vehicle, be sure to check out Amesburg Chevrolet Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South in Amesburg. Tell them the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you. But anyway, yeah, it's a little bit of a quick one, this opening of the Wind City Sports Podcast. We're going to get into that interview in just a sec. I know I might have mentioned that once or twice, but basically, later on the show, lots of news to talk about our Windsor Spitfires like we usually do, Windsor Lancers as well, and St. Clair Saints, a little bit about them. But of course, if you're listening to this, I'll probably on, you know, maybe directly on our Wind City Sports website or on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, now have the ability to listen to all episodes right on Facebook. A new feature that they've added to Facebook, a fantastic feature. So, you know, we'll be sharing our podcast on social media like we always do, and I'll be trying to share it directly on there. I tried to do it the other day, but it just, I don't know, for some reason wasn't working. So anyway, again, just making it easier to listen to these podcasts. Again, back 5 years ago, it wasn't the easiest thing when we were on SoundCloud and stuff like that. You had to have an account and blah, blah, blah. So now, easier than ever to listen to your favorite podcast, including the Wind City Sports Podcast. But enough blabbing for now. It's time we get into our interview for this week on the show. Again, former Lancers running back, went on to be CFL player, longtime CFL player, professional football player, and 2013 Grey Cup. We're going to get caught up with Daryl Stevenson right now and find out what else he's doing to keep him busy nowadays in London and Hamilton and whatnot. So nevertheless, here is our interview with Daryl Stevenson. Here we go.
All right, so right now I'm joined by a London native. He's a former Windsor Lancers running back, though, and he went on to be drafted by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL, played for them as well as the Hamilton Ticats and Saskatchewan Rough Riders, where they won the 2013 Grey Cup. Daryl Stevenson, welcome to the Wind City Sports Podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Like, obviously, like I said, I want to talk about your Lancer days and stuff like that and beyond, but want to kind of get to know you a little bit too. So born and raised in London, and I can imagine always a big sports kid growing up, or what?
Yeah, definitely. My whole family played sports. I was the youngest of four kids, and two of my older siblings played football. So I got in as early as I could with them. I was 6 years old when I first started playing football.
Okay.
And I played on their team, and it was a flag team. And yeah, played ever since, and grew up in East London, went to Clark Road High School, and then went to Windsor from there.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so, like, you know, everyone's got a different story, you know, and a lot of times, you know, I've talked to Tyrone Crawford, Brett Romberg, and I'm like, okay, so what's your, like, beginning stages of football? And they're like, high school. You know,
yeah.
Like, holy shit, like, that's it, you know? So everyone's got a different story. You started playing before even high school, but I'm sure playing other sports too, right?
Yeah, like I said, I was playing since I could when I was 6 years old, and it was a 13-year-old flag team, but I really wanted to play. My whole family played, and I just loved it, and I wanted to play as early as I could. So I played a lot of football and a lot of basketball growing up. I played rugby in high school. I boxed throughout high school, so I did a lot of sports, tried out a lot of different ones, but football was always my number one, and, you know, I got into it early on. Just throughout with my family. And I remember my parents bought me best running backs in the NFL Network highlight video on VHS when I was like 6 years old. And I watched that so many times. And I really think looking back that that was one of the big things that got me, you know, I want to be a running back. I want to do that. I want to do what these guys are doing. And I worked hard at it.
Yeah, good, man. I mean, again, and then in the sport of football, there's so many different roles. Like, you know, everyone, a lot of hockey players in Canada and in Windsor and stuff. So a lot of people say, you know, oh, I got the Don Cherry Rock'em Sock'ems or something, and I knew I wanted to be in the NHL, right? So to actually see, like, your path from a young age, especially in the game of football, is pretty unique, at least that I've been able to learn just talking to people. You know, everyone's got a different story. Again, a lot of people just pick it up as they get older, but not as many people, you know, dreaming to be a football player from 6 years old, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So I guess, like you mentioned it, you know, your family was into it, but football was always, like, your favorite sport, right?
Yeah. My dad played the same high school as I did, and he played actually for Western.
Okay.
So, you know, the whole family was into it. My uncles, my brothers were into it. Even my sister played. She was a captain of our high school football team, middle linebacker. So the whole family was into it.
Yeah.
And I pretty much couldn't escape it. I was going to be a football player.
Yeah. Well, especially with your dad being a Mustangs alumni, basically, right? Like, such a strong system out there too for
many
years. So many years, they've been great. And, you know, again, we're talking about playing football as probably in high school, just throughout your whole high school career, doing what you need to do to get noticed, you know, and get recruited. How did you end up in Windsor? I'm sure they weren't the only team or school, you know, talking to you.
Yeah, I went through a big recruitment process in my last 2 years of high school. I was also playing in the summer leagues. It was the London Falcons back then. I think they're the London Mustangs now. In the OVFL. And so I was building a lot of tape, and my dad was helping me build some highlight tapes for different universities. And I would go to just about every single of those old Ryan Diaz football camps that would happen to get exposure. And I had a couple offers from the States, but I was kind of a stubborn kid, and I really wanted to play running back. And a lot of those were to play things like tight end and safety. So, you know, I ended up thinking, you know, I want to stay in Canada and be somewhere close. If I'm not going to go somewhere far away to the States, I might as well be somewhere close. So I was kind of thinking Windsor, Western, Mac type thing. And the year before, I actually went to two of the games where Windsor beat Western at Western. So in my eyes, like, this team was an up and coming team, and you know, so I got to see it firsthand. And there's a lot of influences, and my sister actually lived down in Windsor when I was looking around. So I ended up living with her in my first year. So just a lot of good reasons, and they had a really good school. They had a good program. I wanted to be in human kinetics, and that was a big draw down at Windsor. Just everything fit, you know, you know, I was happy with that decision for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, timing is everything, right? I mean, there could be other opportunities, but you got a place to stay. You got some ties to the city, to the team. I'm sure, like, like you mentioned, the watching the games where they beat Western again, always known as a powerhouse Western. So to see that, probably, like, I was going to ask, you know, what made you kind of look in that direction towards Windsor? And I guess that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can vividly remember being at those games and watching RJ Franklin return a bunch of balls. And I was like, these guys are good, and see them win. And it looked like something fun to be a part of. And then I went on their recruiting trips down at Windsor, and they all, you know, had that energy still. And it just seemed like a really, you know, fun and good place to go for football for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard decision to make, I'm sure, at that time. I mean, you're going 17, 18, 19 years old, get alone.
Exactly.
Doing all that shit. And I'm sure, you know, you probably wanted to, like you said, you wanted to stay Canada. Maybe you wanted to move around, but your dad having that Mustangs tie might have been like, I can do that, or I can go beyond what we know here in London, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think a lot of from what I've saw in university football, at least, a lot of players, when they grow up in one city, sometimes they just want to go and play in another city too, and that's a different thing too. You know, it's like you want to go away for that university experience. And, you know, Western had a pretty good team. They had a good running back that was a young player that I competed with in high school. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to go to Windsor, I think. And, you know, obviously I was very happy. I stayed there for 5 years, and I think I made the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all part of the experience too. And like you said, you wanted to be a running back, so that's your role. That's where they needed you, right? So you want to go where you want to be needed too, right? Not just another
guy on the line. Exactly. And we went, me and my dad went down on a recruiting trip to New Hampshire. And I remember sitting in the meeting room with the head coach, and he said, you know, I was only about 205 pounds at that time. And he said, you know, you're a pretty big guy. You're going to be probably 235, 240 eventually. And you'd be a good sized tight end. And they did offer me a scholarship, and I went back home and I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to be that big. And I'm going to be a running back, a small, fast guy. And funny enough, 2 years later at Windsor, I was 240 pounds playing running back.
Yeah, if
you read, dad's like, those guys knew what they were talking about. Yeah.
If you read your profile, it's like he came in as a 6 foot, 240 pound, like exactly what you're saying right now.
Yeah. So they've seen enough big guys, and they know what I'm going to turn into, I guess.
And you know, a little bit of a different aspect too. Like when you're going over to the States, I think like the football world is just so much bigger, of course, and. Like there's
such a business and such, yeah, it's and you know, I really like that about it. It was pretty cool. I went to on a recruiting trip to Michigan State, and I got to stand on the sidelines and watch the game. And you know, it's crazy over there. I wish we could replicate that intensity in Canada.
Yeah. And again, regardless of anything, you got to take advantage of those trips, right? And say you got to go to games and shit like that.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, going as many recruiting trips as you can, for sure.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah,
but you know, so you make it down to Windsor. Looks like success very early on. You're the OUA football rookie of the year, and you know, during that year, given everything we kind of talked about before, were you kind of overwhelmed, or were you like, you know, the hard work is paying off, and I know I can do this?
It was a bit of both. I was pretty shocked when I scored on my first carry, and that was very shocking to me. And I had a pretty good game that game, and I remember thinking, you know, I can do this, I'm pretty good. And then the next game we played up at Laurier, and they were a very good team that year, and they held me to like 55 yards or something. And I remember just tanking after that, thinking, you know, this is so much harder. So it was a bit of a roller coaster going back and forth. I knew that I had worked hard, and I knew that I was being touted and recruited as a good running back. So I thought other people saw me and had faith that I could do really well. So I did have a lot of confidence, and I was a confident kid, but you know, there was definitely some ups and downs and so many good athletes. I mean, I remember coming to Windsor, thinking I was a pretty good athlete, and then seeing somebody like RJ and being like, okay, these guys are next level right here. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're always exposed and kind of shocked, opening your eyes to things when you start to move around the world, around the country, you know. You see, you know everybody in London in the football game, I'm sure, at that point, you know. And you're like, these guys aren't so bad. We're like, London's the big bad boys. You go down here and never know who's popping in, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing. So right after that, too, I mean – continued success for yourself throughout your whole, 4 or 5 years?
Five years.
And some success for the team, too. You know, you guys going to quarterfinals and semifinals majority of the years that you played for them, right?
Yeah, and, well, we did pretty well. We turned it around the 1 year we had a 6-2 year and did really well. And, you know, there were some tough games that we had and tough losses. But, you know, overall, we really competed. Year in and year out, and you know, it was a great experience doing that, fighting for Windsor, and we were usually the underdogs a lot of times, and you know, I enjoyed that coming from that side.
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, the underdog, but still fighting, right? Still competing.
Yeah,
it's still there, you know. Still had a chance.
Yeah,
not like you're completely out of it the whole fight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I think your second last year, you were injured and like could only play like parts of the games and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I had a pretty bad hamstring, and it just acted up. I could barely finish like 1 to 2 quarters before. I remember I went to the physiotherapist on the team, and they had taped like a rubber tube down the back of my leg just to try to give me something. Because I was so desperate, I was trying to get them to do anything.
Yeah.
And it broke off, and it was the first time I ran. But yeah, that was a tough year. You know, battling with those injuries, it's mentally very tough because you just want to compete and you want to go out there. And, you know, it's hard to, you look slow out there because it's hard to run as much and as fast. And, you know, those injuries, yeah, it's tough battling through that. But it was a tough year. Happy I made it out and I was able to keep going and it didn't progress into anything too much worse.
Yeah.
But definitely for that year, it was pretty tough.
Yeah. I mean, your body's telling you one thing, your mind's telling you another, right? And
exactly. Yeah.
They don't really work together.
Yeah.
At that point. Yeah. I mean, and through all that, I mean, I think you come back the next year, you bounce back pretty well and you end up, you know, breaking all those records in your last year. And, you know, some still to this day, I'm sure, you know, OUA records and Lancers records, like something to be proud of that, at that point, you know?
Yeah, definitely proud of all that and all the other guys that put in the hard work, the offensive linemen and, you know, quarterbacks, receivers, everyone that was working hard back then and allowed me to have the success that I did. And, you know, looking back, it's nice to have those records. And then, you know, I think it takes that consistent effort and again, not being injured and having a bit of luck that way and just working hard year in and year out and working with the guys around you.
Yeah, it's not the end all be all, but like again, from 6 years old on, you're thinking about winning the Super Bowl and stuff like that.
Yeah,
have any kind of success and accomplishment, an award, it's got to be, you know, a little pat on the back kind of thing, right? At the very least.
Yeah, and you know when I was playing, I was very very competitive, and I would be very upset when we lost games.
Yeah,
and I know even when I broke the record, I remember it was against Guelph and we lost the game pretty bad and that's all I thought about was losing and I thought, you know, to be good you got to win and you know, but now looking back, you know, having a record and things like that, it was pretty neat to be a part of that and you know, seeing all the other guys being excited about it, it was yeah, definitely pretty cool experience.
Yeah, and at that point, you know, if it just ended there, at least you got that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll talk more about Windsor, but before we start to get into like the CFL days, like I'm sure, you know, those days in Windsor for on the field, off the field, all the people you've met and memories are, you know, pretty, pretty close to you.
Yeah. I mean, I still have lots of friends in Windsor. I still make regular visits down there. My wife is from Windsor and her family. So, you know, it's, definitely, you know, it's pretty much home to me. Anytime I think of Windsor, you know, I really feel like I'm a part of that community, especially the sports community in Windsor. All the guys, like you said, a lot of the ones that you've interviewed, you know, are good friends of mine. And, you know, it's a tight group and it's pretty special to be a part of that. And, you know, Windsor was such a fun place to go to school. There's such good, you know, professors. There was, you know, good. We had great coaches. We had a good team. The atmosphere was good. That Windsor as a city was very supportive of the football team and you know, it just made us feel really special down there and it was a great time.
Yeah, exactly what you want. I mean, when this is all going on for college athletes, you got like multiple experiences going on. Not only for you football, you got the school, you got the social life, like tons of things going on at one time.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you wish you could just keep reliving that. it's just a crazy whirlwind of experiences and fun, and yeah, definitely gonna miss it.
Yeah, and that's why I like to do this, so we can reminisce and document it, and you know, talk about the good days, the good old days, you know.
Yeah.
And the good old days for you, they kept going. I mean, you became like a Canadian football player, you, obviously born, raised, played in the league for many years. Out of Windsor, you're drafted to Winnipeg, and start your pro journey there. What do you remember about kind of first coming in to the Blue Bombers? Probably some nerves. Did they have a plan for you? You know, we're talking about being recruited to colleges, same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Might have presented something on the table for you, right?
Yeah. You know, I did. I was confident that I could do really well. And actually, my first year in Winnipeg, I went there after my fourth year and they offered me a practice roster spot. But then I ended up going back to school, started my master's and played a fifth year. And that actually, even just getting that practice roster spot, I remember that being a pretty big shock. And because I was confident that I could make it, and you know, I had done so well before, and even just a little setback like that, I remember being, you know, I was a bit sad about that. But but you know, I came back at the, you know, at the end of our, my fifth year at Windsor, that same year of the CFL, we got knocked out of the playoffs at Windsor, and the team called me back, and I ended up playing that same year, a week later, for Winnipeg. And I got thrown in at tailback in the end of the second quarter for the rest of the game. My first week there, kind of at the end of the season. So that was pretty neat. I didn't really have much time to think then, but definitely, you know, going in, I was always pretty nervous. I was confident, but I was always a nervous guy, you know, just make sure I do everything right. And last thing I would want to mess up and get cut or anything like that. So definitely a lot of nerves, making sure the body is okay. In the back of my head for even my first 2 years, I would always think about that hamstring injury that I had from university and think, you know, if this comes back, what am I going to do? You know, it's kind of a roller coaster like that. And, you know, but, and then eventually you get on the team and you get to feel a little bit more comfortable, with your, where you're at.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, when you're in college, when you're training, whatever, you're like, you know, you can do it. You know, you can make it to pro. And then when you do, you're like, holy fuck. Well, now what? Right. Like,
yeah. And just again, like I said, coming to Windsor and seeing guys like RJ, you know, going to the CFL and seeing some of those players that are just like some of the best athletes in the world. And it's pretty crazy. I mean, I remember the running back, I'll never forget, in Hamilton ran a 4.29 40, and watching him run on the field, it's like, wow, that is like, that's a next level of speed that I've never seen before. Yeah. So definitely, yeah, you see those pros, you see guys that have been in the CFL for 15 years that are just perfect at everything that they do. And it's definitely eye opening.
Yeah, I mean, between any transition, you know, high school to college, college and on, you're seeing new things, right? So
exactly, yeah.
And, you know, you played for Winnipeg, played for Hamilton and Saskatchewan, I like to talk about too. But at least when you first got to Winnipeg, your first, you played 2 years there. So first, you know, pro games, what do you remember, like, kind of the atmosphere at the games being like? It's a little different everywhere when you start in Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, it was I loved Winnipeg. That they loved the team out there. Back when I played, they didn't have the hockey team out there, so it was just us, the Blue Bombers, and the crowd was wild all the time. The whole city, you know, you could tell that they really supported the team. I definitely noticed when you get out west in the CFL, they're more about it, and you know, you can see it more in the city. But it was like, it was pretty crazy running out to the fireworks, and you got jets going overhead for the first game. And I remember playing actually my first year for Winnipeg in Saskatchewan for the Banjo Bowl, and the ground was shaking underneath us. That's because everyone in the stands was kicking so hard on it was like aluminum stands. And I remember the ground vibrating on the ground, and I was like, wow, this is a whole new experience. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. But once you're on the field, you know, that all, you tune that out pretty easily. Cause you just have to, everything's moving so fast on the field. You got to be focused. So once you're on there, it's cool. It's, you know, you're back to just playing football, but definitely when you're, you know, coming out there and seeing everything and hearing the crowd, it's a whole new experience, but it gets you really hyped up and motivated for sure.
Yeah. It's part of the experience. I mean, it's part of the business, part of the game and stuff like that. But for, you know, again, like a new pro athlete, you know, like at first you're probably like, wow, fuck, this is cool. And then Hamilton too, like they could be getting pretty rowdy too, eh?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hamilton was awesome too. And similar, reminding me to Winnipeg. And you know, I grew up watching the Tiger Cats, and being from London, they were the closest team, and I knew a lot of people from Hamilton. And, you know, it was a really cool experience being able to play for the Tiger Cats and come back, and my whole family would come up for the games. So that was really cool.
Yeah, close, yeah.
The city was fun, yeah. It was, you know, a great time. And now I work in Hamilton now, so.
Okay, cool.
Stuck around, but.
Yeah, ties all over the province, right? So.
Yeah.
I mean, because then you go out to Saskatchewan, like Saskatchewan Rough Riders are like, they're like the Cowboys of the CFL, right? Like,
oh yeah,
they're fucking huge out there. So that had to have been to wrap it up there too. And, you know, win the Grey Cup.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Like it's like the Green Bay of the CFL, like the Cowboys. Yeah. Like they are,
the big team, like,
Yeah, I heard somewhere they sell more merchandise than the rest of the teams put together.
And they're one of the top five in the North America.
Yeah, so it shows when you're out there, like on game days, every single person is wearing a green shirt, no matter if they're working somewhere. Like you go into a McDonald's, they're all wearing green jerseys. Yeah. It's the whole town, Regina, province just comes out for it. And it was a really, really cool experience being out there and seeing that. And you go to we'll fly into Toronto and play against Toronto, and there'll be just as many Saskatchewan fans there as Toronto fans. Yeah. And then to win it there in Regina for the first time in Regina, it was crazy. And you could tell they were gearing up. We brought in a lot of good players that year. I got brought into them from Hamilton. And I was just one of five of the fullback tight ends that had started on other teams. So we had depth everywhere. And it was a pretty cool experience. And we ended up beating Hamilton in the Grey Cup too, pretty bad. So I got to beat my old team, but
yeah. Well, at least you won, but no matter what, you would have been there, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that was pretty neat. And yeah, Saskatchewan, I wish everywhere was like, you know, had that same amount of attention and hype.
Yeah, because obviously not everywhere gets it.
Some other places struggle a bit more, but yeah.
That's part of the business. Not everywhere is 100% successful, right? And again, like being that Canadian-born, proud Canadian player, given your roots and everything, like to win the Grey Cup just had to have been, you know, really cherishing to you. Just again, you know, like you said, you grow up wanting to win the Super Bowl, but we're Canadians, a little different here. So we got,
yeah. And I watched a lot of CFL growing up too. My dad liked it. My grandpa loved it. So it was big in my family, and to get the Grey Cup was pretty huge. And playing football, I had won my first year playing football when I was 6 years old, and I had never won a championship after that. And I could barely even remember that when I was 6 years old. I don't even think I really played or did anything. But to end it on the championship and to be there for that and just have that whole experience. I had played on other teams in the CFL, and we had made it to the semis on one team, but you know, I had never been on a team that looked like it was that promising to win. So to see that all and to watch the guys battle, and it was a roller coaster of a year. We almost lost in the first playoff game, like right down to the wire, and then to come away and to win it all and celebrate in the locker room, it was a really cool experience. And they had a big parade the next day, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, probably some ups and downs, because I mean, like I said, they stacked the team to push for that championship in the hometown, and first game that could have been it, right? So now it's like, okay, now. Get on track and get to work, right?
Yeah. And it was a really, really cold playoff run. That cold, yeah.
Even Winnipeg.
Yeah.
But hey, like you said, you ended up on top and ended it on top. Was that kind of part of it? Were you thinking about wrapping it up soon, and this was just the perfect time to do so? Or
yeah, a little bit. Like I had it in my head. I was in my sixth year, and I was thinking, I also had two concussions before, and I had a little shoulder injury. I felt kind of a little beat up, and I remember thinking, you know, if I can win, that could be a good time to call it. And I still don't know if we wouldn't have won, I probably would have kept trying. Cause I really wanted to get there and experience that and experience Grey Cup, all that it is. And, yeah, so definitely, you know, that nudged me towards retirement for sure. And I kind of had it in my head. I knew I was going to go on and do a PhD after. I kind of knew that after a couple of years. I did my master's while I was playing in my first couple of years in the CFL. And then I kind of thought, you know, I'd probably progress and finish off and do a PhD. And after winning that, and I got a call by Western to get into to do a PhD shortly after that. So it all kind of came together at the right time for me. But you know, still to this day, I think sometimes, you know, I can work out, I can get back. I want to play this year.
I'm not bad.
I definitely miss it. And it was really hard not to, you know, to step away knowing I was only about 28 years old. I could probably keep slugging this out and play some more. You know, you got to call it at some point in time.
Mm-hmm. That's all you ever did at that point, you know, it's all you
know. Yeah.
So like, did you want to keep in the game after? Do you want to at least do some coaching or something, or were you focusing on, you know,
A lot of me, so I did train some athletes after. So I worked at a gym, sports science lab, and we trained a lot of football players. Some guys are in the CFL now, and so I kept in touch with it that way a little bit. But I didn't feel like I had the time to go and fully jump into coaching. And a lot of me, because I had been playing since I was 6 years old, a lot of me did kind of want to kind of steer my life away from football for the most part. Okay. And try to go and see what else I could do and yeah. see what else I could get interested in. And I kind of felt that way towards the end of my career. Like, what else is there out there after, you know, because you're playing all those years and there's very little job security within the CFL. So, you know, you could bust your leg and you know, your career is pretty much done. So you really do have to be thinking somewhat of an extra strategy. And I heard from a lot of CFL coaches early on, you know, the best, you know, the smartest guys are the ones that use the CFL to kind of jump shot to springboard themselves into their next career. And I kind of used the CFL a bit to get in touch with different universities and get into a program like that. And so you are always kind of thinking about it as you're playing, like, yeah. you know, it could end up just about any moment. So you kind of need that. And I think I got out when the time seemed right for me. Yeah.
Again, timing is everything. And especially in a game like football, it could end at any point. And talk to a lot of different athletes in different sports. And a lot of them say that, you know, like, I don't know what I'll do after. But then once it happens, things start to open up and they're through the game, through whatever you were in. Doesn't matter if it's football or boxing. Or
yeah. Anything, right? Yeah. And some of my friends said the exact same thing you just said. I remember that playing with them and some guys talking to me and saying, you know, it's odd, but I almost feel a little bit trapped here because I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. You know, football is what I know how to do. But from what I've noticed is a lot of those guys, they had, you know, habits and good work ethic and things like that, that transfer well into whatever they do in the next phase of their life. So I think they're, you know, most of them are going to be fine. Yeah. They keep that up.
Absolutely. And for yourself, you know, it seems like you're happy. You're as successful as you want it to be. And, you mentioned, you know, working in Hamilton now. The only thing I've seen you do some writing as well, writing some articles as recently as this past May on concussions and stuff like that. So,
yeah, so I did my PhD at Western in health and rehabilitation sciences and did some research there. And I looked at concussions with CFL players. So I actually interviewed a lot of CFL players and talked about basically what makes them underreport the concussion. Why won't they come forward if they think they have it? Those type of things. So I did a little bit of that. And then since then, I've moved on. I work as an ergonomist at an occupational health clinics in Hamilton. And then I also work up at Western teaching some courses. So, yeah, definitely nothing football related, although I still get asked to coach every once in a while, different high schools and things like that. But I just don't think I'd have time. And now with the kid and everything, it's a little more time consuming.
Yeah, life's happening, man. A whole new life for you now after football, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like we talked about it before, still some roots here to Windsor, obviously with your family and being alumni of the Lancers. I see you rocking the Lancers hat sometime and keeping in touch with teammates, coaches, God knows who else from university days gets you back down here, and it's probably good to do that, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I rock a lot of Windsor gear. Yeah, whenever I'm golfing, I'm wearing something Windsor for sure, either the hat or the shirt. You know, and I know the coaches now, the new coaches down at Windsor, Cicelli's. They coached in London for a long time, up at CCH in London, and JP Cicelli, the head coach. I knew him growing up. We had the same trainer, you know. Very, very awesome coaches. You know, they're going to do a great job there. And, you know, I wish them well for sure. And, you know, it's definitely fun to come down and see the games. I didn't get to come down and see a game this year, definitely will next year. But yeah, Windsor, you know, I thought a lot about living there, you know, going to university there. I thought in my head that this is a place I could definitely come back to and live. It's just didn't work out that way where I got hired and things that went on, but definitely love the city.
Yeah, it's cool to hear, man. That's why we do this. You know, we obviously talk about Windsor sports. We talk about the city as well. I've seen you golfing with the Lancers hat. I think you guys were even at Ambassador Seven Lakes or something. So come down.
Yeah, we did the Windsor alumni. I did the Windsor alumni golf, and then I also did the alumni football Windsor golf tournament. And those were awesome because you see all the old guys that you hadn't seen in, you know, 10 years. And honestly, it's like you just saw them last week. Instantly back to normal. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And having some fun playing golf. It's not like you're going out there and playing a game of football. It's a little different going to swing the clubs. Yeah. And maybe have a beer or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, golf's a little easier on the body.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's cool stuff. I mean, again, we always like to talk to people who have made their way through Windsor at any point from Windsor or whatever, and to still think about those days you know, kind of be proud of your roots just from being here for 5 years of your life. You know, it's cool stuff. So
a lot of my best friends are from Windsor, and you know, it's going to be a part of me forever.
Fantastic, man. Thanks so much for coming on and telling these stories and taking the time to talk to me, man.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me.
Huge shout out and thanks to Daryl Stevenson for joining me on Zoom to chat about, you know, his life, his career, and retirement career, I suppose, post football life, you know, starting a whole new life in a different world pretty much once you retire from the game you love, as you know, we talk about with a lot of people. So again, yeah, thanks to Daryl for coming on the show. Again, another suggestion from a friend. And like I talked about with Daryl, like when you mention names to other Lancers alumni, even if they didn't play together, they kind of know who you're talking about because of the kind of the family, you know. And also, speaking of recommendations, last week, Andrew Sinkuner, again, shout out to Josh Cameron, former guest of the show, two-time guest, who suggested having Andrew on, and it was a, you know, obviously a great choice. And again, connections are everything. So bringing those connections together, you know, between Josh and Andrew, or you know, just again, just between alumni and God knows what else. So Windsor's a cool place for that. Again, I could talk to with Daryl about the city itself and, you know, kind of the community and stuff. It's cool to something again that we've been talking about with a lot of people recently. But so very cool stuff to do these interviews and, you know, get you caught up with some people you might have forgot about. You know, might be a guy like Daryl, or, you know, maybe someone that you never heard of or you always wanted to hear about. So again, thanks to Daryl for taking the time to do that. We got lots of other sports news to talk about, and we'll start with my favorite Windsor Spitfires. We'll get that out of the way. Since last week, the Spits split a pair of games with the Sioux and Sarnia. On Friday night, they pretty much crippled Sarnia 7-3 final. In their home barn too. They ended up coming back home on Saturday night to play here at the WFCU Center against the Sioux with a 4-3 close game final and lost for our Spitfires. So, you know, 1-for-1 over the last week. Upcoming this week, they're back to the WFCU Center on Thursday night, and then we'll be in Flint on Saturday and back home again, welcoming Flint for a home and home on Sunday. So upcoming this week, this Thursday, 7:30 game against the Erie Otters. Saturday, they take off to start a home and home with the Flint Firebirds, and we'll see them come back for an afternoon game Sunday, November 21st at 4 p.m. The Spits still maintaining that sixth spot, still without Jean-Luc Foudy playing in the AHL for the Carolina Eagles, I think, the Carolina Avalanche's AHL team, farm team. So he's been, you know, doing enough to keep to impress and keep himself there. So right now, running without him, but still running pretty strong with Wyatt Johnson and, you know, Daniel D'Amico, some of the other veterans of the team now, especially after missing the last year. And some rumor flying around about the Spitfires being investigated for something. Not sure what that could possibly be. And if anything, news to come, I suppose. I only seen it flying around one time and can't find anything else on it. So who knows how true it really is. But God, it could be anything. So hopefully, you know, no bad news to come out of our Windsor Spitfires organization and cancel culture another team or player or coach or something. But, you know, tough times. So that's pretty much our quick Spitfires roundup. Last week we missed two games, and they're pretty much sitting in the same spot that they have the entire season. They were originally ranked in the top 10 of the CHL, still early in the season, so we'll see what happens. And to keep the hockey news rolling, we'll go into our Windsor Lancers, starting off with our men's team, currently with a record of 3-1. They're coming off a close 5-4 win over Laurier, the Laurier Golden Hawks. 5-4 is the final score, late into the third period with a 4-4 tie, actually trailing 4-3. And battling back and forth between the entire game. Tying it up is Holden Whale at 6 minutes and 48 seconds. And then in almost the last minute, Sean Olsen winning the game for the Lancers with a snipe at 18:57. So almost down to the last minute winning that game. So upcoming for the Lancers, they're going to be taking on the Waterloo Warriors at the Capri Pizza Center, South Windsor Arena, this Friday at 7:30, and then heading out to Waterloo on Saturday, and then next Thursday they'll be in London taking on the Western Mustangs. The women's hockey team is yet to win a game this year. They do have an overtime loss to Brock, and then a regular time loss to Brock as well. This Friday they play Guelph, the Griffins in Guelph, on both Friday and Saturday. And then next weekend, they'll be taking on the Golden Hawks in Waterloo. And speaking of those Waterloo Warriors, the men's basketball team beat them Saturday night with efforts from both Kennedy and Simon putting up double-doubles. The final score was 83-75. The women also coming off of a 71-59 victory over the Warriors. Both teams will be in St. Catharines on Saturday to take on the Brock Badgers. Speaking of basketball, the Windsor Express have announced that ball is back coming this February. The NBL of Canada, the National Basketball League of Canada, returns to play. After the pandemic kind of obviously stopping their season in 2020, skipping a season last year, they're back with a limited number of teams. The entire Atlantic division had been wiped out due to COVID, just a lot of teams deciding not to return to play or, you know, renewing their contracts or, you know, teams folding, that kind of thing. But the Windsor Express are still around, so are the Kitchener-Waterloo Titans, London Lightning, and one other team I'm forgetting about. But at least four teams in the league right now. They have their first game set for Saturday, February 5th in Kitchener, taking on the Titans then. Then they'll return home the following Friday for the first home game at the WFCU in nearly 2 years, pretty much 2 years, actually. 7 p.m., where they will battle the Kitchener-Waterloo Titans Friday, February 11th at the WFCU Center. So looking forward to that. I'll probably be going to that game. Basketball is back in Windsor, so cool stuff. And looking forward to the return. Men's volleyball opened up and split a pair of games with the Warriors as well. A lot of Lancers versus Waterloo action this past weekend. And in St. Clair Saints athletics news, the St. Clair Saints earned a team bronze medal in the men's division at the Canadian Collegiate Athletic Association National Cross Country Championship in Calgary this past Saturday. Coached by Windsor's Corey Belmore, at least helping out with the rest of the squad. A lot of efforts from a lot of, a lot of runners in the St. Clair's team. The men's basketball team was also competing in the Lambton College Invitational, seeing they won the first series, or first game, first round at least. And some other news to kind of wrap it up, before we wrap it up, is, Lakeshore Canadians staying unbeaten with a 4-2 road victory over Moortown Flags, another good team. And the Leamington Flyers, moved to within a point of first place with a 3-1 road win over the Sarnia Legionnaires this weekend. And Windsor's Kyle Prepperlick is back to MMA action this weekend, November 19th in Montreal. So this Friday night, better yet, it is available on Fight TV, the Fight TV app. Prepperlick going into his first pro fight since the pandemic hit, 18 months of work during COVID, as they're promoting it here in the Montreal Samurai MMA promotion. He's going to be taking on Michael Dufort out of Montreal, or better yet, out of Quebec. This is Prepperlick's first fight since fighting for the UFC in September of 2019, going into it with a record of 14-7. Before we begin to wrap it up, I want to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC yet again. Located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg, they're proud to serve drivers all throughout South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, and LaSalle areas. I've dealt with them before, and they provide top quality service to everyone who walks through the door, and they love to do it too. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. It's almost new car season, so if you're looking for a new vehicle, be sure to check out Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Tell them the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you. But that's it this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Monday with a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, available anywhere podcasts are found, now on Facebook Podcasts and as well Spotify and iTunes, or better known as Apple Podcasts. I say the word podcast way too much when I do this, but no matter what, I got to tell you, because it's our podcast. So again, available wherever they're found. Give us a subscribe or review on whatever platform you might use, and as well as social media. If you're a social media user, we have everything, even LinkedIn and Reddit now. We have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at WinCity_sports. So give us a like, follow, subscribe on whatever platforms you might use. And you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram at Drake DeMore. We'll be back next week with a new episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast featuring an interview with a local athlete, coach, entrepreneur, or more. But until then, smell you later.